These train journeys are among the most epic and hardcore on the planet.
There's like ice picks stabbing at my stomach wall.
Taking people through the world's harshest environments.
No train has ever gone further north than this one right here.
Overcoming technical challenges.
Look at this, I don't want to go over this in a train.
These trains are a vital link to remote communities.
People live along the tracks, so this is their only means home.
Sustaining a region's economy.
There's one of the sugarcane carriages that didn't quite make it.
And even changing the course of history.
It's because of this line that the country feels united.
These are the world's tough trains.
Crossing all of Siberia from east to west, this is the Trans-Siberian, Russia's best-known railway, but certainly not its toughest.
Over 1,000 miles north of the Trans-Siberian Railway, I'm traveling deep inside the Arctic Circle on the world's most northerly train line. And I'm here in the winter when temperatures could drop to minus 50 degrees centigrade or more. Wish me luck. This is Tough Trains Siberia.
As well as being the world's largest country, Russia also has the world's biggest gas reserves, mostly in remote Arctic Siberia. The gas fields are serviced by the world's northernmost train lines, but damagingly, there's a gap between east and west. Today, Russia is taking steps to bridge the gap in one of the toughest environments on Earth. Curiously, the new railway will follow the route of an abandoned train line built before the discovery of gas during Soviet times by prisoners of Stalin's forced labor camps. My journey to the Arctic starts in the old Siberian capital, Tobolsk, from where I catch a train 750 miles north to Russia's biggest gas field at Novoyurengoy, where I see what it takes to keep the fuel trains moving.
There's the gas there. That's what these guys are working to get out of here.
Regular passenger trains go no further than Novoyurengoy. But to continue my journey on the freight-only line 150 miles west to Nadym, I get to travel on my own private train.
Isn't it amazing that Stalin had this vision to build this railway across the Arctic, but never got to see it through? And now it's about to be completed, but for different reasons, gas.
Today, from the end of the line at Nadym, the only way you can get across the 250-mile gap to Labat Nangi is by four-wheel drive on a treacherous ice road that's open only in the winter. En route, I visit the remote area's only inhabitants, nomads who herd reindeer and eat them raw.
Much more doable with the vodka. Yeah.
From Obskaya, near Labat Nangi, I end my trip by heading north 350 miles above the Arctic Circle to the Bovanenkovo gas field, the most northerly place in the world reachable by train.
This train line has to keep running 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, to keep the gas fields running. This really is the toughest of tough trains.
Over 1,000 miles south, I'm starting my journey to the Russian Arctic in the historic former capital of Siberia, Tobolsk.
Back in the 18th century, all of the vast region of Siberia was governed from here, stretching an incredible 5,000 miles to the east and over 1,000 miles north to the Arctic. Just opposite Tobolsk's Kremlin and the lovely St. Sophia Cathedral, there's a much grimmer survivor from the past here, Tobolsk's prison.
During the rule of the Tsars, thousands of political dissidents were banished every year to exile in Siberia, and many of them were imprisoned here.
After the communist revolution, the exile of political prisoners and other criminals to Siberia continued much into the 20th century. Millions were sentenced to hard labor, and worse, into the infamous Gulag. From holding prisons such as this one, the prisoners of the Gulag were sent all across Siberia and put to work, often in mines, but also on big infrastructure projects, such as building Stalin's so-called Railway of Death across the Arctic.
The railway that I'm taking to the Arctic from Tobolsk, however, is a more modern line, completed in the early 1980s after huge amounts of gas and oil were discovered in the far north.
All right, my train is due at 1:38, which is confusing because on the timetable it says 11:38. Yeah, as it turns out, all Russian trains run on Moscow time wherever they are. And in a country that covers 9 time zones, that's important to know if you want to avoid missing your train or freezing to death while waiting for it. All right, here it is. The train that's going to take me up into the cold Arctic North. Ugh, am I ready for this? I don't know. I really don't know. We'll have to see.
My train has come all the way from Moscow, 2 time zones and 1,500 miles to the west, and it's taken a day and a half to get here, which makes the 24 hours or so that my journey north is going to take seem not too bad.
Okay, third class, seat 40. Oh man, that's not just a body odor, that's a body, oh dear. That could have something to do with it. Here we are, 40. Off to a good start. Made my first train on time.
From Tobolsk, I'm heading 750 miles north to the edge of the Arctic Circle and the passenger line's final stop at Novy Urengoy. Almost all the passengers on the train are workers heading up to the gas fields. They come from all across Russia, attracted by the high rates of pay for working in some of the harshest conditions on Earth.
How cold does it get up there?
Ну, самая холодная температура у нас 50 чем-то у нас. Но я чувствую себя нормально в такой морозе. Больше, наверное, бывает. Ну, я 50 работал, но нормально.
You guys are hardcore here in Russia, huh? I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if you could pay me enough to work in those conditions. I have mad respect for you.
Today, the temperature outside is around minus 20 degrees centigrade, which is quite easy to forget, as inside the train, it's lovely and warm. The heating system is very effective, but it isn't exactly cutting edge.
So this is how you keep the whole train warm, huh?
It's topping the углем.
Simple, doesn't take up a lot of space, and it really does keep the train warm.
Well, there you have it. It is old-fashioned and traditional, but it works.
It totally works.
Keeps us warm, yeah? Well, thank you. Very interesting.
As the train pulls up for a short stop in what seems like the middle of nowhere, my cheerful carriage attendant has got some other work to attend to.
Whew! Stepping out for some fresh air, get a feel for how cold it is. Gotta say, it's pretty cold. Why am I the only one out here? Oh, look at these icicles.
Вот лед здесь, потому что если от льда от снега не освободить, может заклинить. От снега всегда надо освободить, чтобы колеса пары не заклинило.
I guess they can become hazards, hanging down like that.
У нас вот так 40 градусов мороза тоже едем. И ничего страшного. Главное вовремя чистить ходовые части, чтобы не заклинило.
Aren't you freezing?
Холодно, что холодно, я согрею вас. Мы сами знаем, что даже когда 50 градусов жара, когда двое обнимаются, всегда уже не холодно.
Best part about giving a hug is you get one.
As my train continues its journey north towards the gas fields, we cross paths with one or two passenger trains, as well as lots of condensed gas tanker trains, heading south to fuel Russian industry and the economies of much of the rest of Europe. We passengers need fueling too. Along the way, the train makes a few stops long enough to allow third-class travelers like myself to buy some cheap home-cooked food on the platform.
Ooh, look at that. The chicken looks delicious. Potatoes, sausages. This is much, much more than I was thinking. That dumpling looks really good.
Skulka.
Skupra.
Skulka.
Skulka. Sausage. Yeah, that's the one. Mm? Uh-huh. Plenty of potatoes, yep. Yeah. What is that? Yeah, why not? Okay. There we go. Dinner. Let's go find some vodka. About having hot food in front of you is you just want to eat it right away while it's hot. And the thing about having a big thing of beer in front of you, you just want to drink it before it goes hot. So I couldn't find any vodka, but I did find some nice Russian beer here. Let's see how that is. I know what you're thinking. How is this a program on tough trains and you've got really good chicken and nice Russian beer? Truth is, it's gonna get a lot tougher as I go north. Really, this is the calm before the storm and I'm gonna enjoy it while I can.
Indeed, as expected, the weather starts to get worse the further north we travel. What looks like the beginnings of a snowstorm is setting in as we head into the night.
All right, well, I suppose I should get ready for bed. Cool thing about this seat is it's also my bed. Wait long enough, but drink enough beer and I'll just pass out anywhere. Can't turn the lights off in a carriage of 50 people. Oh, should have brought some earplugs, some eye covers.
Hours later, in the early morning, as we near the gas fields in the train's final stop at Novouryingoy, the weather has cleared up, but the snowfall from last night's storm is deep on the ground.
We made it. Gas fields. Whew, pretty nippy. Now, this is a very sensitive area. If you figure nearly three quarters of the country's income come from gas and oil, and this is that area. So you can't just arrive. You've got to have one of these. It's a border permit. Seems just like a simple piece of paper, but without it,
you will get arrested if you're caught here. So it takes 2 to 3 months to apply for it, plan ahead, and then you can see what's here.
Just a few miles south of the Arctic Circle, Novi Urengoy today is a big city with a population of around 100,000. Before gas was discovered in the region, however, nobody lived here at all. There wasn't even so much as a village.
This town is so new. It was only in 1982, back in the days of the USSR, that the very first train arrived. And this is it. Wow. It is gorgeous. And in good condition, too. Oh, I'd love to stick around and look at it some more, but it's absolutely freezing. I know you can't really tell, but it's got to be like minus 20 right now. My fingertips are numb. My face is hurting. Oh, I got to put on some more gear.
Russia today has the world's biggest reserves of gas, worth trillions of dollars. As a result, the Russian Arctic has been utterly transformed. It all began here, just outside Novi Urengoy in 1966, when what would turn out to be one of the world's biggest gas fields was discovered in the wilderness.
All right, now I'm properly kitted out, feeling a lot warmer. Got my thermals on the top and bottom. Insulated boots, insulated pants, extra jacket, triple gloves, a neck gaiter, balaclava in my pocket, my ear flaps flipped down, sorted. When the potential resources of this remote region were originally being investigated back in the 1960s, this is where the first exploratory drilling hole struck an ocean of gas. Bingo! No wonder there were celebrations. For the Soviet Union, this enormous gas field was soon massively important economically. And today, more than 50 years later, it still is for modern Russia.
Over 90% of Russian gas comes from this region. And whilst much of it is exported through pipelines all the way to Western Europe, the railway is also vitally important to Russia's economy as a means of transporting condensed gas. At numerous locations like this around Novi Urengoy, railroad tank cars are loaded up.
Right now, they're preparing the train by steam cleaning all these tank cars before they're filled with gas condensate, which is then turned into fuel, like benzene and kerosene, and shipped all the way out to you guys. Because there's so much snowfall around here, these snowplow trains have to work 24 hours a day just to clear the tracks to allow the trains carrying the really valuable gas to get out of here. Wouldn't want to be in the way of this. It's got blades and power.
Clearing the deep snowfall takes a toll on the train. A part of the snowplow is broken by the sheer weight of the snow and has to be fixed.
Looks like this rubber is shredding, so they gotta undo it and replace it. It's so hard to do anything in the snow here. It's so cold, and your hands go numb if you want access to them, because I can't really grab anything with this stuff. You gotta take them out, and then risk getting going numb again. There it goes, it's chopping the rubber. Most of the track can be cleared by the snowplow train. But around the points, they don't want to damage it, so they can use tractors up to a certain point, and all the rest has to be done by hand. And if you ask me, this is tough stuff anyway in warm weather. But to do it in these extreme conditions, that's got to be so tough. This has to be done every time there's a snowfall. I mean, think about how much work that is just to keep these trains running. Yeah, I'm freezing, man. My nose is going to fall off. I'm a wimp. What can I say? This is every day for you, huh? You're not cold? You're not cold? Ooh.
No? Когда работаешь, не холодно. Холодно стоять, не работать. То есть мерзнут только лентяи.
Yeah?
Да. Ведь? Ну я ж не лентяй, yeah. Я ж не мерзну. Yeah.
Good point.
With the tracks clear of snow, the fuel trains are free to head south with their precious cargo of condensed gas. From Novi Urengoy, the gas trains currently have to travel south via Tobolsk to reach the industrial markets of Moscow and Western Europe beyond. But once the gap from Nadym to Labotnangi is bridged, the journey to Moscow and beyond will be shorter, quicker, and cheaper. For now, the dead-end track from Novi Urengoy to Nadym is barely used. There are no passenger trains and just one freight train a day. But it's the direction I'm heading, and so I can stop along the way, I'm getting some special treatment.
For this next leg of my journey, I'm on my own private train. How about that? Hello.
From Novi Urengoy, I'm traveling 150 miles or so to what's now the end of the line at Nadym. But from Nadym, a new line is soon to be built along the route of Stalin's abandoned railway from the 1950s, which will finally link to the line from Labotnangi. As a result, this quiet dead-end train line should soon become a very busy cross-Arctic link carrying lots of gas tanker trains. Sergei Kravitz of Yamal Railways, who's in charge of maintaining this section of line, helps me understand more.
So this is actually Stalin's railway of death that the Gulag built, yeah?
Да, это непосредственно мы сейчас едем по участку сталинской старой дороги. К сожалению, во времена СССР не успели ее достроить в новом исполнении. Во времена Сталина более направлено было на военное, так скажем, расширение и возможность доставки военных грузов, расширение своей игры. А в нынешнее время более связано строительство, связано с экономической деятельностью и развитием данного региона в экономическом плане.
Isn't it amazing that Stalin had this vision to build this railway across the Arctic, but never got to see it through? And now it's about to be completed, but for different reasons. Gas.
A few miles before the end of the line at Nadym, Sergei stops the train to show me where Stalin's abandoned line diverted from the existing track, en route to Salakard and Labotnangi.
Значит, вот этот участок нового пути, он останется тупиковым и строиться дальше не будет. Значит, строительство пройдет по участку старой сталинской дороги. Возможно, будет с этого места проехать через Надым, Салехард до Москвы.
Ah, so this is a fork in the road where the future meets the past. It's going to completely open up this line to the west. And then Stalin's dream will be realized.
Да, значит, строительство планируется начать в конце этого года, построить участок до моста, который сейчас уже строится.
Wow, it's amazing to think in just a few years' time, there's going to be gas trains galore just going all the way down this line right here.
Just outside Nedim, the combined road and rail bridge under construction across the river is a sign of Russian determination to build the cross-Arctic railway link between Nedim and Salekhard as soon as possible. In addition to providing a shorter route for the gas trains, the new railway will also help generally develop this remote region. Nedim, which was a small village until the discovery of gas, has grown to become a city of 50,000 people. But between Nedim and the equally big city of Salekhard, 230 miles west, there's not only no train line, but no permanent road or settlement either.
It's wild to think that these apartment blocks behind me are the last form of civilization for over 200 miles this way. Not a single village. I mean, this really is a frontier town. Look at this plane that just flew in. It's got skis on it. And this great wilderness that it flew over is the territory that Stalin planned his railway to cross.
To travel across this remote wilderness and trace the route of Stalin's abandoned railway, which the new cross-Arctic train line will follow, I'm joining Vadim Grisenko, a local historian.
Vadim!
Привет, Зей!
Yeah!
Здорово! Ну, ты готов к приключениям?
Yeah, I can't wait.
По зимникам ездил когда-нибудь?
No.
Не желаешь прокатиться?
Yeah.
Прошу, прошу.
That'd be fun, yeah. Let's let this be a real adventure, right?
Until the new train line is built across this remote region from Nedim, this trip is only possible in winter, over frozen ground. From Nedim, our journey of 230 miles or so across the wilderness isn't easily drivable in one day all the way to Salekhard and Labat Nangi, given the need to drive safely on the ice road. So before checking out Stalin's railway line tomorrow morning, we're staying overnight en route with some friends of Vadim.
Здравствуй, Яков.
Just because there are no permanent settlements in this remote region doesn't mean it's uninhabited. In fact, it's a stronghold of the Nenets, one of Europe's last nomadic tribes.
Whatever.
Tens of thousands of Nenets live out here in small temporary camps as they migrate across the wilderness with vast herds of reindeer.
This is amazing. Look at this. Wow.
We're lucky this camp wasn't too far from the ice road. Each Nenet family group settle in a place for just a few days or weeks before moving on to find new pasture for their reindeer.
Igor!
Igor! Hi, Igor. You hopping over holes?
To welcome us generously to their camp in the traditional way, our hospitable hosts sacrifice one of their precious reindeer.
I love eating meat, but this is the part I don't like to think about, and it just seems wrong to take a life, you know. This is the liver. Okay, I thought we were gonna maybe cook it a little bit, but it seemed to be just eat right now while it's raw. It's tough.
Я жду, когда мне нальют, а потом я закушу.
I'll be welcoming some of that vodka right about now.
Давай, вот это. Раз.
First this?
Да. Вот, теперь давай, вперед.
And then this.
Much more doable with the vodka. Yeah. Wow, they got a ladle in the blood over here. Do you guys drink it? Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, God, why did I ask that?
Yeah?
It's good? Okay, here we go. All right, to health. На здоровье. Oh, man, that is salty. That's just like straight salt. Whew.
With nightfall approaching and the temperature dropping, we all head indoors to warm up and get ready for bed.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Now you're spoiling me. Wow. Who would have thunk it? In the middle of nowhere, these beautiful reindeer coats. Ah, oh, this is a life. I feel like a king. I'm gonna sleep well tonight.
In the morning, our Nenet hosts are up early to take their reindeer off for the day to find good pasture, while we continue our journey along the route of Stalin's abandoned railway. Parallel to the ice road, a few dilapidated railway bridges are the first signs we see of the train line that once ran across this remote wilderness for just a few years in the early 1950s.
So why did Stalin want to build his railway out here? You know, this was before gas was even discovered out here.
Ну, были две основные причины. Одна причина экономическая, нужно было осваивать просторы севера, и для своей нужна железная дорога. Ну и во-вторых, вероятно, присутствовали и военно-стратегические представления. С наступлением атомной эпохи в 45-м году нужно было пересматривать концепцию, строить военно-морские, военно-воздушные базы в циркумполярном регионе, чему тоже очень могла бы помочь железная дорога.
I see.
Along this stretch of Stalin's so-called Railway of Death, the best preserved reminder of what took place here back in the late 1940s and early 1950s during the days of the communist gulag is labor camp number 93.
Zay. Yeah. Только там снег глубокий, поэтому я предлагаю туда съездить на снегоходе. Давай снегоход освободим от прицепа.
Remarkably, this camp was just one of around 150 camps along the 800-mile-long train line, which overall, at the height of railway construction, housed an estimated 80,000 prisoners.
Только будь осторожен. Очень глубокие следы, можно ногу подвернуть.
So weird. It's just like
Вот сейчас через окно мы с тобой проникаем на кухню. Где готовили еду для заключенных. Готовили вот в этих огромных чанах.
Look at this. Totally frozen. These are big pots. How many people were being fed here?
Ну, по моим прикидкам, судя по баракам, здесь находилось около 300 заключенных. Три сотни человек.
Quite a lot. Were they eating well or just like bare minimum?
Вот. Ну, в общем, заключенные не голодали, но пища была однообразной.
We head on through the huts where the prisoners slept. Amongst the 300 or so prisoners in this camp, and the 80,000 or more who worked elsewhere on Stalin's railway, only a small percentage were hardened criminals. Over half had been sentenced for petty crimes, such as stealing a loaf of bread, punishable by 2 years or more hard labor. Other than those, up to a quarter of the prisoners were so-called enemies of the people, dissidents charged with political crimes against the communist regime.
А вот за поминальный крест о строителях железной дороги.
Stalin wanted his railway built in record time, and for those prisoners who were judged not to be working hard enough or who broke the strict camp rules, the punishment cells awaited.
This is the prison within the prison, huh? This is the hell within the hell. Yikes. Wouldn't want to end up in here, would you? It's freezing in here. It's minus 25 degrees Celsius right now. And it's not even as cold as it gets. I know it gets down to like minus 60, minus 65. Got an open window here. How did they not freeze to death?
Понятно. Ну, дело в том, что на окне вообще-то было стекло. Это во-первых. Во-вторых, вот здесь вот была печь. Она топилась в морозы постоянно, и вот через это отверстие проникало тепло. Конечно, здесь было холодно. Но не настолько, чтобы человек замерз. Ну и вообще следили за тем, чтобы люди были живы, здоровы, потому что они нужны были как строители железной дороги.
But as it turned out, Stalin's train line was never completed. When he died in 1953, the half-finished line was abandoned by the new Soviet leadership, who were unconvinced by the value of building a railway across virtually uninhabited wilderness.
Вот, Зэй, посмотри, что осталось.
This completely derailed. It's kind of a metaphor, broken rails, broken dreams of Stalin, huh? And being up close like this, it really makes you appreciate what it must have been like to build it, right? You can see the construction of it, the nails. And I keep thinking, like today, it's considered a nice day. The sun's out, there's no wind. But it's still minus 24 degrees. It's really, really cold. But in the dead of winter, trying to construct all this? Such a shame. And you think of all that work, all that suffering, nothing.
As my journey along Stalin's Arctic Railway comes to an end, it's shocking to think that the 80,000 or so prisoners working on the train line when it was abandoned were just a small percentage of the millions of people during Stalin's rule who were imprisoned in forced labor camps all across Siberia. More than 200 miles across the wilderness, the ice road finally brings us back to modern civilization and the city of Salekhard, home to around 40,000 people. It's the furthest north I've come so far, slap bang on the Arctic Circle.
Ah. I'm sure there must be a tradition to celebrate crossing the Arctic Circle, but even if there's not, I'm inventing it. Wow, I feel 5 degrees warmer already. Not in the Arctic Circle, in the Arctic Circle. Warmer still, not in the Arctic Circle, in the Arctic Circle. Just kidding.
Of all the natural barriers in the path of the new Transarctic Railway link to Moscow, the greatest construction challenge to be overcome is the more than a mile wide River Ob, which flows past Salekhard, when it isn't frozen solid for half the year. But once the planned bridge over it is built in a few years' time, Stalin's dream will finally be realized, since on the far bank of the river, there's a train station at Labinnangi.
This is where Russia's existing rail network begins again, and where you can catch a passenger train south to Moscow. This is actually it. But I'm not heading home yet. For the final leg of my journey, I'm heading even further north, hundreds of miles inside the Arctic Circle, on the world's most northerly railway, which is this way.
Just down the road from Labinnangi, Obskaya is the starting point of a brand new private train line that services the huge newly opened Bovanenkovo gas field. The railway is run by Gazprom, which controls around 90% of Russian gas reserves and is the world's biggest gas company.
This is the train, but before I get on, I've got to go through a security check, like an airport or something, you know, check my bags, check me. Hi, security.
Gazprom runs 3 or 4 passenger trains a week up to the Bovanenkovo gas field. And as everybody on the train is heading up there to work, it turns out alcohol is forbidden.
Водка, виски, алкоголь.
Водка?
Провоз алкоголя запрещен. До свидания.
Спасибо.
Пожалуйста.
Darn it. I could see why, for safety reasons, alcohol is strictly prohibited up at the gas fields. But I was really looking forward to celebrating in style getting to the northernmost train station in the whole world. I mean, come on! I'll find something to celebrate with. You watch. Look how posh. Makes sense. It's privately owned, one of the richest companies in the world. Ah, nice and warm. This is my home for the next 26 hours.
From Omskaya, the train travels 350 miles further north above the Arctic Circle and will take all night and tomorrow to reach the end of the line at the Bovanenkovo gas field.
Anywhere. That is so wild. I've heard about this, never seen it like this. Nothing but permafrost for miles. Nothing.
For mile after mile, hour after hour, far above the tree line, we continue on through a surreal, almost unchanging landscape.
It's nice being on the open and all, but you start just craving something to look at. And when the stations come up, it's like, oh, finally something, a bridge, oh, something. Can't imagine how tough it would have been to build a train track out here and to operate the train constantly year round. It's not just workers this train line's bringing up to the gas fields. It's all the construction materials, supplies, food, anything. There's nothing out here.
But surprisingly, a few miles up the track, the train does cross paths with something living out here, reindeer.
There are thousands of reindeer crossing right now. Look at all of these, all the way from there, all the way around. Everybody's coming out to see and take pictures. I'm gonna do the same. I was wondering why we were slowing down and I kept hearing the horn. They're trying to tell them, get out of our way or we're gonna have to hit you. Look at all these. Wow, it's beautiful.
Living together with the reindeer out here, of course, are some nomadic reindeer herders, living a life as far removed from the modern so-called civilized world as it's possible to imagine.
It's unbelievable to think that in this vast,
icy, open, unforgiving, freezing environment, these Nenets choose to live out here. I mean, this train is tough, but those guys are super tough.
In contrast, up at the gas fields, my fellow passengers are well housed in centrally heated apartments. But to be fair, they're also very tough, working up here in winter in all weather conditions.
Да, приезжайте, когда мороз действительно 40-45 градусов, когда метель, на протяжении, на расстоянии 5 метров вообще ничего не видно. Русские мы ничего не боимся, ни морозов, ни холодов.
I bought a hat, you know, and it has the option to come down. But all the Russian men say, no, you leave it up, it's tougher.
Yeah.
Да, да. Yes.
So your ears do get cold, but you don't want to admit it by flapping the flap down. You want to be strong, like a strong, tough Russian man. You're not even cold a little bit until it's extremely cold.
Упал, отжался, все прошло.
Ah, so you stay warm by doing exercises.
Все возможно для русского.
Tough people, the Russians, and their trains too. But I guess you must be to keep going up here in the frozen wastes of Arctic Siberia.
What a beautiful sunset. It's like I'm riding over a sea of snow and ice. I feel really lucky I've gotten to do this journey. Equally as lucky with the weather, really. I've imagined myself just arriving in a blizzard, being so far north. Must be nearly there. The final stop is just after dark. Imagine. No train has ever gone further north than this one right here. And I'm on it. That's pretty cool. Can't wait to get there.
Once night falls, the train approaches the end of the track at the huge Bovanenkovo gas field, where I'm ending my journey.
And touchdown! Woohoo! We made it, the end of the line. Ah. Ooh, it's cold.
It's incredible to think how much the discovery of gas has transformed the Russian Arctic. As a result, the train network in this region is expanding all the time, and Stalin's dream of a transarctic railway is soon to be a reality. For me, my dream was simply to get to the most northerly point in the world reachable by train. And now I'm here. So, I think it's time to celebrate. I might not have my bottle of vodka, but I still have this. It's water, I promise. Nestorovia.
Cheers.